enjoyed reading them.
Welcome back, everyone, to another episode of the OK Gamers Podcast. I'm Brian, here with Dan and Pat.
Hey!
No.
That's a very
left,
very typical way to start the show.
How's it going?
That's all right. You know,
how do you feel,
hanging in there.
How do you feel about the deep sea?
Terrible.
It's great. I love a good swim in the deep blue.
If you're being,
I feel terrible.
If you're being serious, I don't believe you.
I mean, I like swimming in the ocean, but like as long as I could see the shore,
the coast.
Yeah, like not like swimming in the middle of like black seawater.
That's
good. Old humpback whale comes floating by.
Floating, just floating on the top of the
water. Yeah, just floating around.
Hey, Mr. Whale.
Floating around, yeah.
Speaking of ocean, well, not oceans, but like bodies of water, I went kayaking a couple weeks ago, and my kayak like legitimately got stuck. And
you're using like the inflatable one from
I haven't used that in a while. Actually, I think I might bust that out this weekend, because I've been renting a lot, and I'm like, I'm fucking spending so much money when I have like an inflatable one that is like it's fine. And is I could totally just use it until the thing breaks, you know, and just get my money's worth. Also,
do you have a single seat? I don't remember.
The ones that I've... the inflatable I have is the single. But it's funny, because I was gonna... Because I go with my sister a lot, and we both were, like, having this conversation where we're like, hey, we've been renting a lot. Like, maybe we should just spend the overhead and, like, get our own kayaks and, like, either me or her get, like, a roof rack or something, and that way we could just take them to places instead of spending the money renting. And I was like, yeah, I have the inflatable. Maybe I should use that. So I sent her the link to, like, look at the inflatable. Because I was like, hey, like, you know, if you want, like, because it's, like, you know, it's already August, so, you know, who knows how many more times we'll get out there. But I sent her the inflatable link, and I was like, hey, check this out. And we can't find them to buy them anywhere.
Really?
And I found it. It's on Amazon, but it's, like, fucking $150 for the one-seater. And I was like, what did I spend on this? Because I don't remember being that much. And I looked at my order details from, like, a couple years ago, and it was $70.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess just because so many people are... Like, there's limited things to do in terms of, like, going places, and more people are going and doing shit outdoors. The kayaks are selling out.
Yeah.
But I just thought that was pretty interesting. But, yeah, my kayak got stuck. And, like, legit, like, I don't even know what the fuck it got stuck on. But, like, definitely was, like,
sea monster.
Yeah, it was definitely just a big old sea monster just holding on to it. That's the most logical thing.
Your hand just grabbing onto you.
Nah, it was definitely just, like, a fucking piece of wood from something that, like, got, like, jammed into the bottom of it. But, like, I was, like, legit paddling as hard as I could and was not going anywhere. Like...
Sounds awful.
Oh, yo, it was...
Like,
what do you do?
Like, hop out and figure out what's that?
No,
because,
like, it... The where I was, like... It was the body of water that I was in was connected. It was a canal connected to a river. So like the water was actually pretty deep. Like I like put my paddle like in to see how deep it was. Cause I was like, at one point I was like, I guess I got to fucking hop out and like, just get this thing loose and like fucking jump back into it. And like stuck my paddle like pretty far down. I was like, I don't think I can stand in this. Like, so I like just like, I paddled in like one direction and like kept like spinning myself kind of, and like I broke loose and was able to get out of it. But there was like there was a little bit of time there where I was like panicked, and I was like, fuck, what do I do? Like, I'm fucking stuck right now, like shit. So
I'm picture yourself holding like a Matchbox car, and like that's the sea monster holding Brian's kayak. That's what I'm picturing.
Yeah, just the, like, it's also just like nasty. Like, the
yeah,
water
gross.
The water I was kayaking in is just like
a lot of New York
water,
New York,
yeah.
No,
New York,
not
canal water.
Nothing you want to be fucking. Like, no. And my girlfriend, she was paddleboarding, and I was like, "You sure you want to paddleboard in this? Like, if you fall in, that's gonna suck." And she was like, "Yeah, sure, I'll go for it." I was like, "All right."
How long were you out? Like, I feel like that I would want to sit down after a while.
At least an hour and a half. So we were out there.
Good for her.
Yeah, no, she started the. She was sitting on the paddleboard for a little while.
Okay.
because like you you can do that. It just obviously it's a lot harder to paddle because the device used to paddle is longer than what you would use for a kayak. So
did you push her in for like a funny joke?
Commonly, the device used to paddle, commonly known as a paddle.
Yes, you know, not to be confused with a paddle that you would kayak with and a paddle that you would paddleboard with. I'm just gonna see how many times I can say the word paddle here.
You're doing a good job, so, Brian.
Yeah, doing it a lot. What were we talking about? Water? Yeah.
Deep water.
Yeah.
That's how my winter this is a gross show. New York canal water.
That's not yet. New York is gross.
Maybe there's a Reddit for that? Subreddit?
Dan.
Sorry.
Probably. There probably is. Yeah, probably.
This is a show where friends get together and talk about video games.
And deep water.
And phobias of deep water. Oh, okay. Let's get back on track here a little bit. What have you guys been playing?
Destiny.
Crickets. Cool.
That's it. Destiny, really. Fall Guys every once in a while.
So, Pat, what's going on in Destiny that's worth playing right now?
Yeah, Pat, let me know. Tell me.
I mean, is it really worth it?
Mm.
Or is it just something to do in Destiny?
Isn't that just age the old question?
Yeah.
Solstice of Heroes started. So that's what I'm doing.
And for the total uninitiated, Pat, what is Solstice of Heroes?
It's like an annual thing they do. You go in and you get in, like, they make you do a bunch of grindy bullshit for armor that is okay.
Spoken like a true Destiny pro, Pat. Just super unenthused. Just
there. That's it.
This is me going through the motions.
Basically.
It's pretty much. I mean, I can't really describe it any other way than, like, super grindy shit to do for like a little over a month.
Just something to do. That's cool though.
It's okay.
What's like you got something like on your well actually I actually have a question for you guys later or like a discussion topic, but what you have something on like the radar, you think gonna start or you waiting for like the Avengers
I started Alan Wake actually.
Okay.
And I'm like a couple episodes into that. I haven't gone back to it in a couple days, but I started that. And then the next thing I'm like looking to play would probably be Avengers in a little less than a month.
Fair enough. Okay. I was on the opposite side of Alan Wake, and I did not enjoy that game that much.
I am enjoying the combat. Again, this game is like 10 years old, so I can't really complain too much, but I feel like even like for a 10-year-old game, like it's pretty like stiff and like the acting is like pretty rigid and like
yeah, I can imagine.
Animation's like not very good like at all really, like in like the cutscenes and shit, so I don't know.
It's funny enough, but the thing that I didn't like about it towards the end was the combat, cuz I felt like you fought way too many of those shadow creature things to the point where like it wasn't scary and just annoying, but that was only my opinion. Also, the fact there wasn't an ending and you need to play the DLC to get any semblance of an ending was annoying to
that's
me.
That's dumb.
Because I didn't enjoy the base game, so obviously when I was done with it and it gave me no ending, I wasn't, like, raring to go to play a DLC and spend money on it, you know?
Yeah, so. Yeah, so, I mean, like, right now I'm having fun with the combat. They gave me, like, I have, like, the flares and shit, so, like, even when they do group up on me, I can just, like,
flare them.
Fuck off, idiots, and then whatever, but... Yeah, it's okay so far. Mostly playing it because I want to play the AWE expansion for Control when that drops. Yeah. And I would like to have like
some back, not like
some kind of context for all that shit. So.
Yeah, I get you. That makes sense.
So, yes, Dan, to answer your question, the next game that's on my radar, besides like a couple indie games I want to check out, Alan Wake is installed, and I'm going to jump into that probably right after I finish Ghost of Tsushima.
Okay. What are you up to in Ghost of Tsushima?
Couple missions into Act 2, so slowly
chipping away. Yeah. How are you feeling about it?
It's, you know, still got a little bit of the open world fatigue, but every time like I start playing and I get into it, like I enjoy my time with it. So even though they're like, you know, I played a few hours the other night and I was like, I don't really know. I don't really feel like I did all that much, but I had a good time doing it, so I think that's what matters here. So
yeah, for sure.
Yeah. It's still, you know, still a good, solid video game. There's really no major gripes I have with it. You know, I don't think anyone that's played it has any, like, major issues, besides maybe some of the open world stuff being a bit generic. But ultimately, you know, it's doing enough to keep me engaged, so.
Yeah. Definitely not a platinum for you, though.
No, no, I there's definitely stuff I'm just going to not, you know, the fox dens and, like, some of the cosmetic stuff, you know, that I got to climb a fucking mountain for or whatever, like.
Yeah. Yeah, you definitely cut out a lot of the cosmetic stuff. I would say the fox dens are worth it a little bit, but you do a lot of fox dens.
Yeah, I'll do it enough to get the charm upgrades or whatever those are.
Yeah.
You know, I'll do that amount of them at least. You know, and I'll try to knock out probably all the side missions because I do find some value in those with the little one-off stories they tell.
Sure.
All things considered, you know, it is a very good video game, so it's getting the time that it deserves. I am playing a fair bit of Destiny right now, though, so my time is being split between those two things. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool.
Also, I've been playing more Animal Crossing lately because my girlfriend's...
What do you even mean by that? But then I realize your girlfriend is like obsessed with it.
Yeah, she's been playing it on my Switch.
She's been like, Brian, what do you think about this wallpaper? Do you think this one or this one?
Why does my girlfriend sound like an infant to you?
Hey, boy, can we hear chicken wallpaper? I mean, I've never heard your girlfriend talk, really, so I don't know. She could sound like that. I don't know.
Yeah, she sounds like she's two. It's awful.
Please
stop.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, she's having fun with it, so.
Like, so is she, like, I mean, do you know, like, how, like, is she, like... Did she...
It's funny. She keeps asking me questions, and I'm like, I have no idea. I've never played that
game.
Extra
boy, dude. Are you kidding me?
It's funny. She has a friend that is, like, obsessed with it and is, like, constantly texting her, like, oh, I got all this stuff for you. Like visit my island. Like, let's do this. Let's do that. And, you know, she's got that, like, sick hookup already, so. All
right, well, that was, see, originally, I was trying to give you that hookup. But you never even got. You never really started playing the
you
game.
You ghosted me about it, no. though.
Is that what happened?
Yeah, I texted you that one time, and I was like, "Yeah, I'm gonna play."
Oh my god!
And you were like, "All right, I don't care anymore."
I mean, I did
That's
fall,
exactly.
I did fall off the game pretty hard. I remember, like, I know Amanda wanted Pat's girlfriend. Amanda wanted, like, fruit, and I had to, like, force myself to start it up just to give her fruit. But yeah. Amanda also got to see my swank ass island, so it's fine.
Swank.
She was impressed with though, Pat, right?
I mean, yeah, she was kind of like, I don't remember exactly what her, like, reaction
I think
was.
She was.
I think
weirded
she was more
out.
Like overwhelmed.
Yeah.
She was like overwhelmed by, like, because you kind of just had stuff like wherever, and she was like, "What the
no,
fuck?
No, fuck! I did not have stuff wherever. Are you fucking kidding me? That was fucking
opinion,
planned." Down to a fucking T. I will walk you through the whole fucking island, and I will show you where things are. Stuff everywhere, Pat. Are you?
That's probably why. That's probably why she felt like it was.
No,
just
Amanda
whatever.
Fucking doesn't even know perfection when she sees it, Pat. She fucking did. She has she even had KK Slider fucking play on her island yet, dude?
Yeah, she finished all.
Yeah,
this.
Yeah. Well, I finished that months ago, Pat. All right. So
yeah, she finished. God. She also finished it.
No, 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 no. Months ago, Pat. So
I know you finished it like in like the week.
Exactly, Pat. So everything has a place in my island.
So sorry.
I need you to take that back.
I'm laughing a lot.
Why,
I refuse.
I refuse because I'm not the one that said it.
Okay, I would love to see Amanda's shithole island and see what she's doing. That's better than mine. All
right.
I'll gladly go for a tour. I opened up my fucking gates at the fucking airport for her to come into my island, and she disrespects me. Like, I gave her fruit from my trees.
Yeah.
Damn, son.
Yeah, and she fucking disrespected.
And she disrespected. She disrespected me.
Fuck yeah.
What's it like to be disrespected like that?
It feels like swimming in a really deep black water. Like the deepest
big
black,
old ocean.
The deepest, blackest water you've ever been in. With no paddle.
I think I'd rather swim in very dark, murky water. That way, if something gets me, I have no idea. Is if it's like the water's crystal clear and I see it coming, that's way worse.
I don't know if I agree with that. I think I'd rather not see it coming. At least go back. Oh no, big squid! Then like I don't
squid?
Know what's grabbing me. You know, like I don't
I feel
know.
Like I, mean, if, a, I feel like if a squid grabs me, it's either gonna be like the most painful thing ever, or it's gonna like take me to, like, some secret underwater...
like Atlantis?
Yeah.
Ron, you're finally arrived.
If it's
welcome.
If it's a giant squid from like the deep ocean, you're fucked. You're dead, probably right
as opposed,
away.
They as have, opposed like, to the semi-deep ocean squids
that are nice.
No, like,
and take
like
you
have
to
you ever seen
magical
like
kingdom?
Have you ever seen like a giant squid?
I've seen
like
a,
not
I've swam
like
a couple,
not like personally.
Yeah, just a couple three. They have like their tentacles, like the suckers on them, have like hooks, like teeth.
Is that the
in them.
Scientific term for those?
Yes, hook teeth.
Suckers.
Hook teeth and their suckers.
Hook teeth and the suckers. If you ever see like pictures of like humpback whales and they're like all like scarred up and shit, it's because like they're like fighting fucking giant squids like down in the ocean, like it's fucked up. It's
all right.
It's frightening.
I mean, also, I'm pretty sure those squids like don't come up like higher than like 5,000 feet.
You don't fucking know.
So like.
People, I feel like they've been pulled out of the water before.
Yeah, by people that were down there that, like, messing around with shit that shouldn't have been messing around with shit.
I'm pretty sure they've, like, beached. Like, they've been, like...
Yeah, but I don't think they're coming up on, like, Smith's Point. I think they're, like, you know, beach in the middle of, like, you know, fucking Africa or something. I don't think they're beaching on Long Island.
You don't know that, dude.
I mean,
You don't know shit about the ocean.
I mean, a lot of people don't. It's like it's mostly
the
unexplored.
We've explored 5%.
Might actually be what that term is actually for. Is the fact that it's unexplored and that's what scares people. I think.
Yeah, it's a nightmare.
Yeah, kind of is. You don't even know what's down there.
I really love the like all the nature documentaries that do like deep water and the ocean and stuff.
Yeah, you guys ever see the documentary The Meg?
Yeah, no. Jason Statham narrates that, right?
yeah, and stars in it.
Oh,
the documentary.
Cool.
Yeah, it's a true story.
I actually saw the end of that movie before I watched like the whole thing, and that was kind of funny because
I still want to watch that like that spooky underwater movie with what's her face?
Kristen Stewart.
Is that movie called Underwater or something like that?
Maybe I don't know, but it looks cool. Yeah. Looks scary. Looks spooky.
Crawl, which is kind of about drowning. Was way better than it should have any right to be.
Shout out. We usually do off topic at the end, but we're a little off topic right now because we've been talking about
solid movie
water. But Crawl is on. Is that Amazon?
Amazon. Yeah.
Yeah, it's free if you got Amazon Prime. Highly recommended. Very fun movie.
Fun if you think alligators murdering people is fun.
It's like a cool like. I guess technically like a monster.
Yeah.
Thriller. Yeah.
Yeah. Good twist on the monster genre movies.
Not quite like Jaws level, but it's entertaining nonetheless. I Lake Placid was like one of my favorite movies growing up because it freaked me the fuck out.
You love that movie.
So, I mean, obviously it's not Lake Placid, but like alligators, you know? So like I kind of got a little bit of nostalgia going on there. Yeah.
Hell yeah, dude.
Lakes also kind of scare me because most of the time lakes are like real murky.
Because lakes are fucking disgusting.
I mean, yeah, they're pretty gross. You know,
you could just jump in a lake and die, like just from like just from like
just get your like leg wrapped up in like garbage or something.
Yeah, that's what happened to
just, like,
the Glee
or like
Glee
an
girl.
Or like an amoeba.
An amoeba,
like a little like brain eating
like it's like invades your skull and you fucking
just a little bacteria just fucking. Squirms its way up into your brain from your nostrils or something. Just fucking.
It's like the permafrost in Antarctica that's freezing. That's gonna like unleash like some fucking like million year old plague on us and we're gonna die.
Yeah, sure, why not? Just that's you know, Q4 2020. Let's go. Just bring it on. Oh yeah, the Glee actress died from like a lake.
She was
right?
At the lake, yeah. But I don't think they confirmed what happened. But people assume it was something like. You know, tragic like that. Like, her leg got caught on something or, you know.
That's real sad. Real sad.
Yeah. Okay, well, that took a turn. I'm playing...
I blame you every single time.
It's 100% your fault, Dan.
Yeah, no. I get it. I've been playing Trials of Mana. Remake of a... I don't know the name. It's a Japanese name. It was never released in the West until now. It's, I think, the third one of the Mana series, so Secrets of Mana, it's good. It starts off pretty generic and like pretty shallow, It's not long, but it's actually like it's pretty replayable because there's six characters and you can only pick three. One character is like your main character, so like every character has like a reason for like going on the quest that you need to be going on, but they all have their own reasons. And I was actually thinking about this. I was comparing it to Octopath Traveler.
I was about to say that.
Because that, remember, like, one of the complaints about that was that, like, you had eight people.
None of them, like, talk to each
other. Yeah, there was no cohesive reason why any of them would be going with each other other than just, like, that's the video game. This, the people who you have at, like, your party meet up and then have a reason for traveling together. And then the other characters that you don't pick are actually still in the story and have reasons for being in the story with you, but they're just not directly playable. So they do a pretty good job of that. And if you wanted
that
to,
is
you
the proper way to do
And like, so you could realistically play it six times if you wanted to, because there's six characters, or at least twice to get kind of the story for the
general story with like both groups.
Yeah. So it's like the combat's cool. It's like it's real time. Like the classes start off pretty generic. Like I pick like the main guy, Duran. He's like the sword guy you see on the cover. There's like a mage lady. There's like a kind of like a Valkyrie girl with like a spear. There's like the assassin boy. There's like the fighter guy, and there's like the other like a mage or like a white mage type of girl who has. Actually, I meant to send this to Pat. She's got the most obnoxious fucking voice, like, actress in the world. Oh. And she's this little like midget lady fairy girl, and her like voice is literally like the voice I did for Brian's girlfriend. Like, literally that's what she sounds like. She's like, "Gosh, don't leave
that's
me."
Not,
like,
that's not confirmed. She doesn't sound like that. You need to relax.
It's the voice that I made up to be Brian's girlfriend, who does not sound like that at all.
Joke's on everyone, she actually does sound like it.
I'll find a sound clip and send it to you, because it's actually, like, I'm really glad...
Of my girlfriend?
Of,
I know what she sounds like.
Of Maria, Okay, I'm going to get a sound clip of her. Of the character, and show you, because I was like, yo, if I had this character in my playthrough, I would literally not play the game.
Yeah, that sounds terrible.
So, it's, you know, the stories are pretty cool. Like, it's like, you know, nothing groundbreaking. What I do like is that there's a class system, just like Fire Emblem. So, like, you start off, like, pretty generic. Okay. So, you start off with, like, you know, the knight. And then you start off with the mage. And you start off with the, like, the rogue. And then you become, like, paladin or a, like, I forgot what the other one was. Like, a paladin or, like, something else. And you, or you become, like, a mysticist or a sorceress. Things like that, and like they go different directions. Like, it's kind of based on like dark and light, but like one will do is like, you know, more about debuffs and like you know, health leech damage, rather one's like about like powerful spells. And then it kind of continues, so you could level up four times, and each class gets particularly more like specific and like involved in its like own type of like type of spells and like abilities it has, kind of like Fire Emblem. And like it has like one ultimate like class, which is like, and like they aesthetically look a lot different, which is kind of cool, which is very like reminiscent of Fire Emblem. So I like that a lot.
It's pretty sweet.
My only real complaint is like the overworld is like super empty. Like, you know how like in a JRPG, like they'll always have some NPCs that have just like random dialogue, and sometimes they give you some like background or some like, you know, some helpful information, or maybe they'll like throw out like maybe like a secret chest somewhere. Literally, like, the dialogue for these fucking NPCs is like, ugh, and like, humph, like, you know what I mean? Like, literally absolutely nothing, and like, they didn't even, like, try to make any of that, like, remotely, like, you know, it feels very, like, not lived in, because, like, no one says anything, it's not worth it to talk to anybody, and like, there's no side quests, so there's literally nothing to do other than the main story, which isn't a bad thing, because I didn't want an 80-hour RPG. I really just wanted a quick, you know, 20-something hour, like, something I could blast through, which is, like, giving me that, you know, exactly that. And it looks great. So, any JRPG fan will be into this.
I do want to check it out.
It's quick. Like I said, that's why, like, I started it now. Like, you know, I'm, like, 16 hours in. Some of that's probably just idle hours, but I'm, like, pretty close to the end. And, like, you know, like I said, I'm, like, if I haven't really played it, like, too much, like, the past week. So it's an easy game to like place there. I'll let you borrow it, and then whenever you get to it, you get to it. Oh. But it's good. Like, you know, I'm officially now like a fan of the series, because I know like the creative director or whatever said like they hope that this is like a jumping on point for like people for the series, if like whatever next game comes out, if it's something in the series or a reboot or something. So
yeah.
But yeah, I'm into it, and it's I think it's retails for $40. And it's obviously you can probably find it cheaper. So like, you know, if you're into JRPGs at all, it's a quick one, and it's definitely a nice departure from like a 150 hours of Persona or like 120 Dragon Quest or 100 in Xenoblade or something. It's refreshing, and it's got all the JRPG tropes that you want, like, you know, everything like that's there. So it's cool. So I'm enjoying it. I definitely will be done by next week. So I'll have my final thoughts then. But yeah, that's all I'm playing right now. I'm looking to jump into some stuff later, but that kind of goes with my question later on. So,
well, all right.
You want to blast through some news, Brian, and then I'll throw on my topic.
Yeah. We'll get in some news here. So the biggest news from this week is that Halo Infinite has been delayed.
That's a huge blow to.
It was a very
Xbox.
So a very rough thing, because, I mean, what does the Xbox really have at launch now?
That's actually a great question. But real quick, Halo Infinite obviously was slated for a November release alongside the Xbox Series X, which is the next-gen console. The new release date was not immediately given, only that it's coming in 2021. So there is that.
Yeah. So, I mean, realistically, aside from, like, third-party stuff, like, Xbox doesn't, like, have really anything at launch now. So, I don't know. It seems to me like this whole, like, console launch right now is going to get, like, real weird. Because, like, I've been hearing, like, there's a lot of rumors floating around that the PS5, like, isn't as strong as they've been saying it's been. And, like, now this thing with fucking Halo. So, like, I don't know.
I was finding it hard to like justify. Besides, like, just that I want all of it. You know, like the get an Xbox at launch, because like they've already come out and said like that a lot of pretty much all of those games can be played on PC anyway. You know, so like there's not many games that like strictly can be played on the Xbox. So like, and they've like, you know, been pretty open about that. That they're like that they like, well, like, you know, this is here. But, like, you don't need to play it here, but you could play it on PC. But if you want an Xbox, this is something you could buy. So they haven't really, like, pushed that narrative too hard that like, you need the Xbox 100% to play all their games. You know, they've made it clear that you can play it on PC, too. So, like, without Halo now, you know, I probably would put that on PC anyway. But, like, I definitely don't think I'm going to get an Xbox at launch. Like, I think that's something I would wait on, for sure.
I mostly just... I'm gonna get one, but I mostly just am doing it because I want like the obelisk, like on my entertainment.
I'm very much in the same boat as Pat, where just like I like to buy the new consoles, like have the thing, you know, as like dumb as that sounds. Even though there isn't really anything to play on it, and like I've had, you know, the newest Xbox, and I play the vast majority of those cross play games on my PC because it's stronger. Which is very much a thing that's isolated to me, so I understand that. But yeah, the Halo Infinite shot to Microsoft here is definitely a damaging one, because it's definitely going to impact their sales for the launch of this thing, which it's also weird because the news broke, and then in tandem with that news, it was also the announcement that the console is now going to release in November, which is earlier than what people's expectations were, because people thought that this would certainly be a December or further than that.
That was,
you know, so
that was a thing. People thought December.
Yeah. The November.
I always had it in my head that it was going to be November.
Yeah. They didn't announce it was going to be November until this week. So.
No, I know they didn't announce it. I'm just saying, like, in my head, like every console, every like new console release has always been like November. And like, that was like,
yeah, I mean, they always say holiday 2020. So that always can be either November or December. Cause technically, if it's late November, that's certainly still considered holiday, I guess. It's Q4, so either way, it's still within that, you know, arena of time, if you will. You know, but to Dan's point, it's like, what really is on this thing?
Yeah, I mean, none of their big stuff is coming out for... It's not even, like, within the launch window. It's, like the next year.
The only thing I will say is that, like... I'm sure it will sell fairly well, because there's probably a lot of people that didn't buy into the Xbox One X and still have either a launch or the One S, the white console, because like that was certainly pretty appealing to most consumers, as it was the cheaper device. It still offered a 4K Blu-ray player. Definitely still had some improvements over the launch device. So that half step, it was not always, you know, we've seen it, you know, from discussions that go on in our Discord. Not a lot of people have a PS4 Pro. A lot of people still have a launch PlayStation 4. So, you know, those half step iterations of the current gen that we're on right now, you know, those people didn't buy into that. So I think that there will be people that are buying the Xbox One Series X or the PS5 at launch, regardless of the you know, obviously the titles.
Yeah.
The titles certainly help sell the devices, but, you know, if there isn't, you know, the one thing Xbox does have going for it is Game Pass, so.
Yeah, for sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. If I was rocking the OG Xbox or PlayStation 4, I would 100% get the new consoles. I feel more inclined to get a PS5 just for, you know, obviously, you know, exclusive purposes, and Game Pass doesn't exist. And I would think there, you know, my Xbox One X is also still ahead of my PS4 Pro, so that also helps that decision a little bit. Like, I'm not saying I'm not going to get an Xbox. I'm just saying I think I might wait until at least the next year. Because also, like, you know, we were talking about, Brian, like, the 3,000 range cards come out in end of this year, too. And, like, I would rather drop... What's that?
NVIDIA is going to make their announcement in the next, like, 10 to 15 days. I think they're doing their countdown, so...
Yeah, so I'd rather put that money...
You're ready to spend, like, $1,600 on down on a card?
Well, I'm not Brian. I mean, Brian's going to do that, but I...
No, I'll buy the card, then Dan will buy my 2080 Super, because... I mean, that's how this works. I give my friends steep discounts to feed my need to buy... to be on the bleeding edge.
So. I mean, I personally want to do, like, a new build, like, you know, like, new motherboard, new GPU and everything. So, like, I feel like I would just spend the money. I mean, obviously, it's going to cost me more than the whatever an Xbox costs. But still, I think that's where my money would go before an Xbox. But who knows what's really going to happen. But that's just kind of where I'm at in my mindset right now.
The only thing I will say is the 3000 series cards, they will support the next iteration of memory. What is that, DDR5? Might be talking out of my ass here, but...
I mean, it's DDR4 now, so I guess 5 would make sense, right?
Yeah, I know the Ampere, the 3000 cards, like, they support, like, the next iteration of another, like, a new standard for either memory or something. So, it's like, you know, right there, you would have to go with a new build entirely, motherboard-wise, etc.
Yeah, that's what I figured. Instead of trying to... you know, piece out, like, compatible shit, I would rather just be like, okay, I'm just going to build a new computer. I'm not, you know, I'm going to get tied to my case and stuff like that, and, you know, so, like, you know, those things.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, the one thing with the 3000 series cards is, like, apparently, I don't know, we'll see what price points are like, but apparently, like, the quad cores or whatever the fuck they're called, that, like, really is what the ray tracing is built on. It, like, doubles what the current gen or the current line has, which is, like, ridiculous, because it's like, why didn't you motherfuckers just wait a year? Like, well, you know, but exactly. Hey, it's, you know, they got people like me who are just idiots who buy that shit, so here we are. So
yeah, especially because, like, you know, realistically, the card that you have now would last you the next probably solid 5 years with no issues.
Oh yeah,
you know,
of course.
But, you know, consumerism.
Quiet.
I mean, that kind of goes for all of us. You know, like, you know, that we probably don't need to upgrade for the next couple of years, but, you know.
I'm actually probably the only one out of all of us I could probably do with a...
Yeah, Pat's do.
A GPU upgrade.
What are you rocking? Oh, 1080 Ti, right?
Brian.
Yeah, Brian's Pat, you're in line to buy my current card,
there
so
you go.
Keep this train rolling. Hell yeah.
So here's the thing, is that I don't need to right now, so it's fine.
No, I know you don't, but, you know, when an offer comes your way, you know, hey. All right, news. We were talking about news. The Xbox stuff, that sucks, I guess.
It's going to be a very weird launch.
Yeah.
For these consoles.
That has a lot to do with COVID, you know.
Especially, like, I mean, yeah, but it's also especially considering that, like, we're in August and we just got a launch date.
We still don't have a price point.
We still don't have a price point. and we don't have either for PlayStation.
That's like that's the thing to me that's just like so
which, like blows my mind.
Bizarre is just like the fact that they just like, oh, okay, cool. When's it coming out? Eh, like, yeah, what's it gonna cost? Eh. All right, cool.
Is it even real? Eh. Maybe.
One looks super futuristic, and the other's just a black box. Hell yeah.
Hell yeah.
All right, so moving on here. Ubisoft has fired the Assassin's Creed Valhalla director, Ashraf Ismail. He stepped down in June, was accused of having an affair and some other unsavory things. So he was finally released from Ubisoft amidst all the controversy.
That big old creepy weirdo.
Yeah. So, dude, sounds like he fucking sucked, and they did the right thing. They got rid of him. So, yeah.
Yeah. Just hope. I mean, you know, obviously that's for the best. Just hope the game still turns out all right.
Yeah. Just.
I mean, the game is like well along. It's like development, so I can't imagine that like him going is like that. It's gonna impact it that much. Unless somebody comes in and is like, no. Like, they
change
fucking, like,
all.
Approve the entire thing.
Tear it down.
I don't want to, like, harp on, like, the gritty details of, like, the accusations and all the stuff that went down. But I just want to read one blurb here. So someone made the first allegation against him. And it was a woman who said that she had a consenting relationship with him. But then, you know, furthered her point by saying that he concealed his marriage from her to the point of claiming the wedding band he wore was just for show so that his parents wouldn't be asked why their son wasn't married. Reading that, just like, oh, Jesus Christ.
What the fuck? Nice. I mean, that's how you do it. I mean,
That's like a high schooler's train of thought,
right?
Like he's lying about like a girlfriend that goes to like a different school.
I'll just wear this for show, whatever. Like,
you guys wouldn't know her. She goes to a different high school.
Just rings look fucking sick. I just wear rings.
So dumb.
Okay.
Hate it.
Yeah, it's men.
Men.
But yeah, to Pat's point, the game is certainly, it seems like it's you know, I don't think his departure will have an overlaying effect.
Yeah, we'll have a big of a consequence, yeah. Hope so.
Yeah. So
I'm very excited for Valhalla.
Same. Looks fun.
Oh, I'm more excited about the whole like base building aspect, because that's like
new.
Most of my favorite part, yeah, of games. And also, yeah, a new thing for the series in general, so.
Yeah, something they haven't done.
Yeah.
All right, so move on to some more fun news. Splinter Cell's Sam Fisher is coming to Rainbow Six Siege.
Yeah. That's cool. Did they like announce when?
Operation Shadow is the name of the expansion. So Ubisoft Montreal teased this announcement in a video promising a full reveal on Sunday at 2 p.m. So hopefully we'll get a actual release date at that point in time.
We gotta jump on Siege.
There's
two characters I wanna mess around with.
Yeah, all the new characters look really cool. This season is getting they're gonna rework the map Skyscraper, and the one thing I would say was whenever they rework maps, it's like they're borderline new. They do such a good job at it.
Oh, yeah, they change it like almost entirely.
Yeah.
The one thing that I will say with this news is as cool as it is, and I'm really excited that they're using Siege as this kind of like melting pot for just all these various things now. Well, not really. I think Sam Fisher's the first crossover, but like he's, I guess to this point, like they've done this with other games. Like he's popped up in like Ghost Recon Wildlands, and like there was an Easter egg referencing him in The Division. I think there was something in Far Cry New Dawn. So like, I just love this, like, he's this now kind of this character that they just like, oh, we'll put him in everything, like, if it's in the Ubisoft universe, but, like, fans just really want a new game.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're doing a really good job of just the putting him in everything except his own game thing that they've been doing for a couple of years now.
At this point, like, I want to say it's like, you know, them trying to get hype going for like an inevitable new game, but at the same time, it's almost like, okay, well, all right, you can do it now. Like, we're hyped. Yeah. We're good.
Oh, actually, I didn't know this. So I didn't watch the little reveal trailer. Obviously, I'm just going based on, like, the articles I saw and the announcement, et cetera. But I didn't even realize this, so I guess this is, you know, bad on me. But the ghost – sorry, the – in this reveal trailer, the voice actor is in Michael Ironside, which is kind of a bummer. And I didn't know that apparently he didn't voice him. I knew he didn't voice him in Blacklist, but I didn't know why. But apparently it was because he was battling prostate cancer. But he did return to do the voice for the crossover event in Ghost Recon Wildlands. So I guess he was doing well enough to be able to voice that. But he's not doing the voice for the Rainbow Six Siege thing, so that's a bummer. Hopefully he's doing okay. So,
yeah.
Brian, this is supposed to be cool news.
Sorry. Everything is
fun news. That's not fun.
I fucking bring that shit way down.
Everything in 2020 sucks. It's all a hellscape, so.
You're right. True.
So more bummer news. Watson, it's like, so Control's getting an Ultimate Edition, so. That's cool. It includes a free upgrade to the Series X and PS5 ports. But the bummer about it is that if you currently own the game, this upgrade's not included.
That's
fun. So you got to rebuy.
Yeah, I'm probably never gonna play the game again after I play AWE, because I don't think there's anything else like expansion wise coming out. So it's fine with me.
That's a good point, Pat.
Yeah. Same, probably. I doubt I'll ever even make it to the AWE, but. I like to say I think I will.
Keep that hope alive.
Yeah, I mean, I love Control. I just have a weird thing about DLC. But that still sucks. That's still just, you know, I just want to make more money. Make people rebuy that game. That sucks.
I agree. It's weird. I don't know. I mean, like, a complete edition is fine. But, like, I don't know.
Yeah, complete edition is cool. I mean, like, that's... Like, obviously, most games like that, especially if they have multiple DLCs, will eventually come out with a DLC, a complete edition. You know, it's just, it would be nice to not have to rebuy the game to, you know, get the benefits.
Yeah, dog.
Yeah.
So the last bit of news, which I'm not going to get, like, too far into it, because there's just so much going on in it that I don't understand, so I don't want to, like, just muddy the waters any more than they already are, but I do think that it's... worth talking about a little bit, and anybody, and you know, if it interests you in any way, you should certainly like just try to read as many articles you can on it, because like I said, I do think it's a pretty interesting thing that's going on right now. But Fortnite was banned from the Apple and Google App Store, and Epic actually sued Apple, which is like pretty wild because Apple's huge. It's just like a giant conglomerate, so.
Well, it's what's impressive to me is that all of this seems super orchestrated by Epic. Like, everything that they're doing revolving around this seems, like, super pre-planned, like they knew that this was going to happen. And the fact that Epic is in such a state right now that they can fucking pull something like this off and, like, be okay is, like, fucking crazy.
So, that's a very good point. So, like, reading between the lines and everything that I've kind of looked into here... I think that they've had disputes for a long time about the
it's like Apple and Google's like terms of service on like their App Store where they take like a 30% cut and like all this fucking wild shit.
Yeah, so it's called the disputes that I was mentioning prior. It's over the direct payments, and to Pat's point, it's about the percentage and stuff that they take out of it.
Epic basically implemented their own payment system in Fortnite, and they were like, "Hey guys, look at how much you guys could be spending if we didn't have to fucking upcharge you because of Apple's 30% cut that they get." And then like, Apple was like, "No, no, no, absolutely not!" And they kicked them from the store. They did the same thing with Google, and you know, it's just like I said, like this entire thing like seems super pre-planned. They put out like that that video, like that making fun of like Apple's like Mac like 1984 video that they put out like years and years ago. Yeah. But it's like all like pre-rendered like cuts, like it's like literally like a fucking like little pre-rendered little movie thing that they did with like like in-game assets and shit. Like all of this stuff was like they knew that this was gonna happen, and they were like, we're fucking ready for it. So once we get banned, we're fucking dropping the hammer, and like they're just going to town right now with this whole thing. It's like they have like Apple and Google have such a monopoly on like that whole market that like nobody has ever taken them to task about it before. So
yeah, that's what I was saying before. I think that this is like super interesting, but like I don't like, you know, it's there's a lot of legal aspects of this discussion that like I'm not like fully prepared to delve into. Front facing, like top down, like Pat, you hit the nail on the head there. You know, I think you did a very good job summing it up. So thank you for that.
You're welcome.
Yeah.
So yes, that Dan, what did you? What were you bringing to the table here? Because that's really all. That's all I have for news.
Sure. So, you ever been swimming in some? It's a joke. So like, you know, it's been big. I've been thinking about it, and I always tend to think more about this part of like gaming, like when there's like nothing really out and no big release that like I need to play, and I have like the time to kind of sit back and decide like what I want to play, or if I want to dabble in some multiplayer games or go back and play something that I missed, or like go back on my backlog per se to play it. And I always feel better, like as much as I like when a new release comes out and I want to play and I want to keep up with the conversation, I always feel like that slight pressure in the back of my head to be like, yo, you gotta fuck keep up, dude. You gotta, you know, like, yo, your friends are gonna beat that shit before you beat it, and then you're not gonna be able to talk to them about it. And like, you know, it's always there. It's, it's kind of like the fear of missing out, like we talk about. So, like, it's nice when that's not there, and you could just literally, like, you know, obviously no one, like, who the fuck's playing Trials of Mana right now to talk about it? No one. Like, I wish somebody was, but, like, I know no one's going to be. So it's nice just to kind of not have that. And then it made me think of kind of, like, your backlog and how everybody has, like, a backlog that's, like, their reasonable backlog, and then a backlog that is, I guess, a backlog, but, like, you're never going to fucking play any of those games type of backlog.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I think that concept's, like, funny because, like, in my head, I'm like, you know, I don't fucking know. Like, I'm like, oh, yeah, I'll go back and play Grim Fandango. Am I ever the fucking go back and play Grim Fandango? No. Definitely not. But, like, I wanna, and I consider it on my backlog. But, like, you know, am I gonna go and play, like, Pokemon Sword? Yes, I will play that game because that's, like, an actual reasonable game that is in my backlog. So, like, do you guys feel like you have, like, a backlog that's just like games that you really think you will go back to? Like, do you try not to keep a backlog, or do you, or are you kind of like me where like you have like your reasonable backlog and your like pipe dream backlog if you ever you know, are unemployed for 5 months due to a global pandemic?
Yes, I do. I have both those things.
Yeah, I do too. I like
Way to make that question, like, you're painting a picture with, like, a very broad stroke, but then you got in there with, like, the small brush.
Yeah, right? fucking dotted, yeah, cross the T's, dot the I's.
Yeah, like, I have, like, so much, like, just my Steam library alone, like, I have so much shit in here that, like, I'm never gonna play any of these.
But, it's not, like, but you consider those, like, Matt Finelli, friend of the show, like, he's a good example, because, like, he keeps this, like, ridiculous, like, list of his backlog, and it has like, I don't know, 400 things on it, let's say, and it's like everything he owns, and every game, like every Humble Bundle game, every PlayStation Plus game that he's downloaded, every random Steam game that he has, and I get that's your backlog, but like, is it really though? Like, you know what I mean? Are you ever gonna go back and play even 90% of those games?
Is this real?
You know?
Yeah, I mean, I have, there's a few games that I have, like, physically on console that, like, I would love to, but I'm probably never gonna.
Yeah.
Like, for instance, I'm looking at it right now, like, I would love to go back and play Valkyria Chronicles. Not gonna do it.
Same. Yeah, I'm with you on that one.
Same thing, like, Darksiders 3. I'm like, have it physically, I own it. Liked the first two, probably never gonna play it.
Well, like, I mean, for that one, I don't know, because you did kind of play Darksiders 1 and 2 out of nowhere and enjoyed them. So, like, yeah. I mean, I guess that could happen for the third one, right?
I mean, yeah, I guess at some point, but, like, right now, like, not happening.
Yeah. You know, so, like, you know, do you, when you, like, when you're just kind of, like, not playing anything in particular and like, you know, there's nothing really immediately on the horizon. Like, it, like, do you guys like when it's kind of like that, or do you wish you like had like that big new thing in your hands to play?
I don't mind it, mostly just because like I don't feel like I need to be playing anything.
Yeah,
like I can just kind of hang. Like I can, I use that as like I'm gonna catch up on some shows and shit. Like I don't feel like I need to be like I'm the same as you, Dan. Like if I'm not like. So like when the new thing comes out, like I feel like I need to play it to be part of the conversation. So like when that isn't a thing, like I can use that time to like catch up on shows or like watch a movie or something I missed or whatever. So
yeah,
I don't mind it personally.
Yeah, I think it's a nice change. You know, like it's like, you know, especially because like Last of Us, which for me led right into Ghost of Tsushima, and like that's like, you know what, close to 100 hours of games. I mean, great games. But, like, you know, it's just nice to, like, finish that and be like, I don't really have anything to play right now. Yeah, you have,
like, no responsibilities.
Yeah, you know, that's the thing. It's like, that's just, like, an odd concept that, like, as much as, like, I want to play the new games and excited and, like, you know, obviously they're great games, like, it still gives you that little bit of anxiety that you, like, need to keep up. And it's, like, you know, such a silly concept because, like, video games is a hobby that we do by choice and it's fun.
Well, we also have this show, so that drives that narrative a lot.
Yes.
So you're right.
we also all peer pressure each other.
Yes.
Also a very good point.
Yeah, I've totally just accepted the fact that y'all blasted through Ghosts and I'm just taking my sweet time with it. So like I'm not going to like I'll get to have that conversation with you guys eventually about like the end of it and like we could all kind of talk about it and like you know, that's all well and good. But like the three of you all finished that around the same time and I'm like was just like, "Oh, they'll all discuss it and have, you know, have that chit-chat, and I'll get there eventually." Like, still got a ways to go. So,
yeah.
But, like, I've just accepted it. Like, this is just not what... This is just one of the games where I just... Like, the fear of missing out was there at first, and then I just kind of accepted the fact, like, you know, let me just fucking just play this one at the pace I'm going to play it at, and just not get burnt out on it, and, you know, just go about it that way, so...
Sure.
But...
Yeah, no, I hear you.
Yeah, to your point, though, Dan, like, there's games that I've certainly look at, and I'm like, I would like to play that one day. It's just not feasible right now. And then there's games that, like, like Alan Wake. Like, once I finish Ghosts, and I'm sure I'll still like, be chipping away at Destiny stuff, but, like, I could definitely fit in Alan
Wake.
You're
going to play that, yeah.
Yeah, and I'll knock that out before the Control DLC, and I'll be fucking good to go. Like, that's, like, one of the games that's in the backlog. I've got it installed. Like, I kind of use that as, like, my tipping point. Like, if I install something, and, like, that's, like, my reminder, because, like, I'll just see it on my desktop and be like, oh, yeah, I did that for a reason.
Sure.
But if I sat there and like went through all the games, like Pat said, his Steam library, and if I like between Epic Game Store, Steam, GOG, and all that shit, I have, there's like just it's just an unreasonable amount of shit. So it's like
yeah,
it's not
like completely unreasonable. That's why like when Matt like we talk about it, or like he'll sit like randomly, he'll like send me it to just like, you know, and I'm like, yo, like this is
what are you
absurd.
Even, what are you even doing?
Yeah, it's also absurd that he like keeps track.
The fact
like
that he keeps track of all that is impressive.
No, that's just mad.
Yeah, that's impressive. That's just, you know, that's just how speaking of like collecting data like that, I finally am putting like my record collection on Discogs, just to like have it all in one place.
Because that's not a bad idea.
I like because I ran into the issue last week where I wanted to buy a record and I like legitimately couldn't remember if I owned like if I had it already, and I was like, yep, that's a problem. Like, let me just like. Start to, you know, like put this collection in one place so I could reference it if I have to. So
sure, yeah, personally my record collection is not that extensive, but I can imagine if it was, then yeah, I that's a smart idea.
I didn't think mine was, but like I got to a point like I only did half of what I own, and I've recorded, hold on, let me just pull it up quick. I have 67 records that have.
Oh wow, no, that's a sizable right collection now. For sure.
And that's half of what I have.
Yeah, exactly.
So like, I mean, there's more I gotta add to it. So
sure, I might have 40 to 50 records, you know, but like I know what I have. It's usually I relegate myself to albums I really really like, you know what I mean, or some collector's edition or something, or like a cool color of an album that I'm excited about or whatever, you know.
Yeah.
But.
I appreciate Matt's efforts there. I think that is a respectable move, as fucking absurd as it is.
Yeah. So I guess to you know, to end the conversation, give me three games you probably will play, and give me three games randomly, if you could think of three games that like you would love to play, but you probably would never play them. Different than what you did mention, Pat. If you guys want me to go first, you can think about it. I will go first.
Shit, yeah, go first.
Okay. Three games that I will play that are in my backlog. It doesn't have to be any time frame. It could be old. One game that I've been dying to play since it came out, and it came out, I believe, last summer, Sea of Solitude. Totally random, but I've wanted to play that since it came out, and like it's a 3-hour game, and I have it like locked and loaded. I think that is a game I'm going to knock out like one night this week. Number two, I am definitely going to play through Xenoblade Chronicles Definitive Edition because I love that game. Or I love the second one, I should say, and I know I will love that one, so that's something I definitely will play through. And the third one, I've had it since it launched. I have got yet to play it. Tales of Vesperia Definitive Edition, because I love the Tales series. Mm. And that was came out January, and I was super hyped, and I don't remember what I don't remember what we were doing then, but I didn't get a chance to play it. So those are three games that I know I will get to at some point in time. All pretty long fucking games, but you know. And then three games randomly that I know I probably will never get to. This game has been on my shelf since pretty much launch, and I've just kind of resigned myself that I'll never fucking play it. Is Alien Isolation. Yeah. I want to play it.
That's one of mine.
I don't know why I don't play it, but I'm just not gonna play it. I don't know.
I know exactly, because that's one of mine, and I know exactly why I'm not gonna play it, and it's because it's like 20 hours long.
Yeah, but like, yeah,
it's like way longer than it needs to be.
Sure, but at the same time, like, we say that, but we dump hours and hours into nonsense and Destiny.
Yeah, but that game, like, that's not the type of game that, like, it's so tension filled and like anxiety ridden, sure, like all the time. Like,
but
20 hours.
But there
of
are people who played it and loved it and didn't mind the length. Oh, yeah. You know.
Oh yeah.
So it's not like it, that was like, you know, I know it, I remember hearing a lot of people saying it was too long, but at the same time,
yeah, I've seen people say the first like 8 hours are like incredible, and then it's like it goes on for another 8, and everyone's like, what were they thinking? And it's like, oh no.
Yeah. That's my reasoning. It's just like the length. Continue. Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, it's okay. I mean, yeah, that's another reason why I also don't jump into it. If it was like a 6-hour game or something, then I probably would probably have played it by now. But the fact that it is longer than it should, that it should be, I guess, in quotation marks. I just popped out of my mind, the one I was just thinking about. All right, somebody else go. I just blanked out real hard.
Right,
mind. I found it.
Okay.
This game has been in my backlog since I saw it. It was an article on Kotaku. I thought it looked sick, and I was like, "Fuck, I'm gonna play this." I went. I like really tried hard to like find a deal. Finally found a deal. Downloaded it. It's been like just recently uninstalled it off Steam because I'm like, I'm not gonna fucking play this game. But like, it's still just like, whenever I see anything about it anywhere, I'm like, that game exists, and it's super random. Shadow Tactics Blades of the Shogun.
Yo, Andrew just said to me that he played, I don't know, there's only one Shadow Tactics, right?
I don't think this is a series, so yes, I believe so.
I think they announced a sequel though, right?
I think you're right, yes.
Andrew said he just played this.
Like the whole thing?
He played it for, what the hell's wrong with me? Game Ranks, and he said he like actually liked it a lot, and that like we would probably really like it. So,
okay, well,
like, that like makes me want
just
to
from
like
looking
pick it up
at this and reading some like stuff about it really quick since Dan mentioned it. This seems like fucking right in Dan's wheelhouse, his fucking bread and butter, something that you dive into and then don't shut up about it for like a month. Like,
maybe this is making its way into my realistic backlog, guys. Okay,
sorry, bud, but.
No, like, me and Andrew literally just talked about this yesterday.
That's actually very ironic.
Very funny.
Yeah.
So, Kotaku had an article about, like, really good stealth, like, I don't know what you would call this, like, isometric stealth games, because, like, this was XCOM, one of the XCOM, I don't know, DLCs was this year. Invisible Inc. was that year. I want to say Hitman Go or something was that year, too. Like, a bunch of those type of games were out. And then they highlighted this, and I was like, "Yo, this looks fucking sick!" Like, you play as like four different ninjas, and like you're mm-hmm. they're all stealth, and like it's top down, and you could do things different ways. And it looks awesome, and I was like, "Yo, this is like fucking sick!" And like I for some reason I've just never even turned it on. I don't know, you know. But like I said, that's a more random one. But I guess you guys literally now I'm like ready to hit the install button and fucking play this like tonight. So I don't know. Maybe without
I know you own it already, but there's a demo available for it, which is how Andrew played it.
Yeah, I remember finding like a deal, and not even like now I think it goes on Steam sales for like $7.99. Like when it came out, like I was for $60, and I remember I found probably like a $40 deal, and I was like, oh fucking sick, like this is.
Yeah, I see it on sale almost all the time.
Exactly, it's one of those games. So I don't know. I mean, I'm sure we all probably would all enjoy this game because it is good. It's also long. I remember that was also a deterrent. It's like a 50-hour game, if I remember correctly, from how long to beat. So that was another one. And then my last one. I mean, this I could probably go say 50 of these games, but my last one, Return of the Obra Dinn. People fucking jerked themselves off to this game. I played it for like 10 minutes. It was just kind of weird. Couldn't get into it. Again, I only played for like 10 minutes, and would love to go back and really give it a fair shake. Will I do that? No, I don't think I will. I don't think I'll ever go back to it. But I appreciate the people who played it. I think the idea is cool. I just don't think I have the motivation to really like give it that like couple hour like, you know, attention to really
like
figure it
fucking
out.
Fucking runway to like.
Yeah, because it's I mean, you know what it looks like. You know, it's like all like dots, and so it's like not the type of game you're gonna just pop on and like automatically be like enthralled by it. Like it's not that type of game. Unless you love fucking like newspaper type graphics and like boat murder mysteries, then yeah, maybe you will. But like
summed it up nicely there.
Yeah. Hit him with that boat murder.
You know, but yeah. So those are my 3 and 3. You guys got yours locked and loaded.
Yeah, kind of a little rough. Okay. A little rough around the edges here, because one of these games I have started, and the other one I just mentioned on the realistic backlog.
Okay, so give me your three realistics.
Alan Wake, which we just talked about before.
Okay, Alan Wake. All right.
Carrion, which is relatively new, but that's on my backlog right now, because it's like a little indie game. The other one is Disco Elysium.
Oh, you fuck, yes.
Because I started it. Like played probably, I don't know, like 5 hours. Like gotta finish it.
No, more than that. Weren't you on like what day were you on?
Day 2.
Yeah, that's like at least 50 to 60% done with that game.
God damn it!
Like you were like at that point where like I would have considered that the point of no return. But
yeah,
not to you.
I don't know what happened.
I still have not got to talk about that game to anybody.
All right, I'll fucking get to it. All right, my three like would love to, but probably never gonna happen. Persona 5.
Okay, yeah.
The Witness, actually.
Yeah, okay.
I've had that fucking thing installed forever, and I always just go, nah.
Yeah, right.
And this is a weird one, because I really want to play it. It sounds like they've done enough to it now where it's, like, worth jumping in and checking out, but it just is, like, one of those just open-ended things, and, like, I just don't have the bandwidth for it. Fallout 76.
Okay.
I really, really want to check it out and play it.
I would if everyone else did. I don't think
that would have to be my barrier to entry, is if like I had at least just one other person who's like, fuck it, we're doing it, we're both sitting down, we're going to just...
I mean, I bought
something.
It.
Yeah, so I have it. Yeah, same. So and it's I. installed. It's just like, I don't know. It's just like, it's daunting. It's just like if I...
It is
like,
daunting.
This is one of those things now, it's like if somebody just like threw another Destiny in my lap, I would just be like, nope, nope, nah, uh-uh, nope. Like, yeah. Can't do it. All right, Pat, go ahead.
All right, so my three, like, realistic. One is Watch Dogs 2. Like, I have full intentions of playing that. At some
it's
point.
It's very, very good.
Go on.
Yakuza 0. I have, like, full intentions of going back to
that.
Yeah,
I feel like those games would be, like, right up in your alley, Pat.
I don't remember. I think something came out. And it, like, took me away from it. And then, like, I felt weird going back because it's, like, a lot to, like, relearn.
Sure.
But I do have full intentions of going back to that. The hell is my third? I don't remember. I can't remember if it was on Steam or not.
Yeah, that's kind of how I was remembering things that what the things were on.
Oh, I mean, this is kind of new, and it like it just hit Steam recently. But Persona 4 Golden.
Okay, I think that's on my realistic too. I think I will eventually play that, as much as I love Persona 5, and people say Persona 4 is better. So.
Yeah. So, unrealistic, like not ever gonna happen. Hitman 2, I own that physically on Xbox, and I know for a fact I'm never even gonna touch it.
Okay.
The Evil Within 2.
Come on, man, it's a good game.
Because I did not like the first one, started the second one, and it also did not really do much.
That's such a bummer. It's so different.
How far did you get from the first one?
I enjoyed a bit of it. Like, I was like, all right, this is better than the first one, definitely, but also it did not do enough for me.
Did you get to the first, like, open section?
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah.
If you got to that and you still wanted to do it, then yeah, I don't think.
Yeah, it just, like, didn't do enough for me to be like, yeah, this is what I want
to
do. So
I've like been meaning to revisit that on PC because they have they released for first person mode, and like that, yeah, some of that is that game is like real fucking bizarre.
I don't want to run away from the hair lady in first person.
That's what I'm saying. Like,
I don't want to do that at all.
Or that giant fucking milk monster that you fight in, like, the underground. Like,
yeah, I don't want to do that either. Or the chainsaw dude. No,
yo,
way.
Like.
I forgot how scary that game is.
Yo, it's that. Yeah, very spooky. That, like, boss rush towards the end.
Oh, God. Yeah, I forgot. Oh, yeah, that's a good game. Fuck that, man. That's a good game.
Even went through two fucking slaps.
Right, what's your third one, Pat?
And my third I also had, and I lost just now. Hold on.
Sorry.
Was it a Steam game?
Epic, maybe?
Was it a PlayStation game?
Oh, I guess technically, this is multiple games with Banner Saga.
I know that
I would love it, and like I would fucking like be all about it. But like, I don't know. I started the first one, played like some of it, and was like, all right, this is cool. And then fell off of it, and I just can't picture myself like just picking that back up like anytime soon.
I get it, but it's so good. It's such a good series.
No, I know, and I don't deny that. I know that I'm not gonna.
That's like, that's more for Brian, because Brian played the first one and they enjoyed it.
Played the second one too.
And the second one, you need to play the third one.
Yeah, I know. I just haven't gotten around to it.
Yeah, would you say that's on your realistic backlog, Brian?
Yeah, probably. I mean, I've thought about buying the Switch collection just because I think that'd be like. Something that's really good, just like throw on.
That'd be a cool
throw on here and there.
Cool,
so
yeah, for sure. All right, well, that was my topic. I figured that was a fun.
Yeah,
discussion. People like on podcasts bring up random ass like old games that they're playing, or just like bring them up like, oh yeah, that game was fun. Like I you know, just because
like I just did to you with Evil Within 2.
Well, yeah, exactly. You know, even to just reminisce if it was a good game that you played, or just something you maybe thought about playing, or something that you. Never even thought about, or you heard for the first time. I think, you know, it's cool. I also just like the kind of like that like freeing feeling of getting of knocking things off your backlog. That game that's been sitting there, even though Persona 5 Royal was a new release, finally knocking the fuck out of Persona 5 out of my backlog. And I'm sure you felt the same way, Pat. Felt real fucking good.
Yeah,
you know, to finally
because now I can look at my shelf and go, I played that game.
Exactly, like because you know we were the same. I had this fucking steelbook since the release day.
Owned it since it released.
Yeah, literally sitting there, always like I'm gonna play you, and I finally got to it. You know, three years later, or whatever, but it happened. So
yeah,
but yeah, all right. I guess we want to head into some off topic.
Yeah, I don't got too much for it, but.
I have a couple things.
Yeah, I don't got too much either.
Pat, go right ahead.
So I finished the second season of Umbrella Academy.
Want to watch that? How was that?
Show's great. I liked the first season, but it was like kind of just it was good. Like it wasn't anything like crazy. Second season is like leaps and bounds better than the first. I think they really really hit their stride with like the characters and like the universe and all that stuff with the second season. So I definitely highly recommend it. I am not really watching anything else. So there's an artist that I like. His name is Fantastic Negrito, and he just put out a new album, and I can't remember what it's called. Give me 2 seconds.
Fantastic Negrito.
Yeah, N E G R-I-T-O.
Okay. Is he a rapper?
No, he's like R&B, folk, blues.
Interesting, okay.
And he just put a new album out called Have You Lost Your Mind Yet? And listened to it earlier. It's very good. From start to finish. Like, it was one of those albums that kind of, like, goes by, like, without you really thinking about it.
Sure.
So, yeah. Definitely check him out if you're into, like, blues or R&B, anything like that.
Cool. All right. Next, I'll go quick. If I've finished since we've been on, I finished Clone Wars.
I don't think you did.
Yeah, I don't think I did. It's amazing. If you're a Star Wars fan, it is literally, you need to watch it. I think, like, I don't think you could fully really grasp the prequels without watching the Clone Wars, because it gives so much context to them. Yep. And a lot of those characters. You know, I won't say every single episode was like a banger, even on the watch list. Like, I will say some of those arcs even were, like, not super exciting. Like, maybe parts of the episodes were exciting, but there is still a lot of just, like, clones blasted droids for you know, minute after minute after minute. So, like, you know, definitely some lulls. It's not a perfect series by any means, but the character development is you know, amazing.
Yes. Yeah. They add so much to, like, Anakin, who's, like, kind of just like a cardboard cutout, like, throughout, like, the three prequels.
I mean, Obi-Wan, like, they do
same thing with, yeah, Obi-Wan, like, they do an awesome job fleshing him out. Yeah,
and
this show's
great. Ahsoka fucking flew to, like, one of my favorite characters in all of Star Wars.
Yep.
Like, to the point where I want her on fucking, I want, like, a Solo, like, movie, but with her. I want to, like, I would, you know, she's a great, you know, I would love, I'm really curious to see how she's going to be live action. I'm really curious.
It gets, she makes an appearance in Rebels also, yeah, and she, yeah, like, it's also fucking super cool. Like, she's awesome. Like, her character, like, development and growth, like, from, like, kind of, she, like, starts out as kind of just, like, super annoying, like, a little shitty,
yeah,
whatever, and then, like, she becomes, like, super relatable, like, fucking, like, just badass. Like, it's just great. The show's great.
Yeah, and, like, you know, just, like, even, like, okay, I guess I don't even know why. I was about to literally spoil the end of Clone Wars, so I'm not going to do
that.
Thank
you for not doing that.
So, I will say this to Pat later on. But, yes, the last episode of Clone Wars, like, I really like how they, again, not to spoil it, but they really focused on one thing and not, like, in a broad galaxy sense, which I thought was really done well. And, one of the last scenes of Clone Wars was, like, kind of just, like picturing, like, you know, somebody, like, you know, heavy bag in your heart real good, like,
oh yeah, dude,
you know, like,
such a punch to the gut.
Yeah, so it was it was great. It ended really, really well.
Yeah, they did a really good job ending that, like, in, like, because, like, yeah, like, you know, like, what's gonna happen, but, like, they do a really good job of, like, still making it hit you hard.
Oh yeah, like you knew what was happening, but just, like, watching it happen in, like, an intimate sense. Yeah. You know, everything with, like, Rex, and, like, it's just like, you know, it's
fucking so good, man. So good.
Real question, did you follow along with a watch list on that, or did you watch everything?
No, I followed a watch guide. Like I said, even with a watch guide, like, it didn't all, like, really hit home, like, you know.
I would also recommend a watch guide, Brian, if you're going to start that, just because, like, there is a lot of episodes that are, like, mission of the day, like, where they, like, go to a planet and, like, do some, like, inconsequential bullshit. And then
I'll try to find a really good one,
Brian, that goes all the way up to season 7, so I'll give you that.
Okay.
And then I watch all of season 7 because it's a shorter season. And
yeah, I would recommend that even with the watch guide, you watch the entirety of season 7.
Yeah, towards the end, you know, you just commit to it, you know.
But just there's only three major arcs in 7, which is 4 episodes each, doesn't take that long to watch. So.
How good are the fucking Bad Batch?
Oh my god! Yeah, I want
so awesome, dude.
I want, like, I don't know. I want.
I think they're making their own show.
Yeah, they need something,
sure,
man. Like, they're great. Like, I was like, yo, this, like, is like, this is, like, fucking more character in Star Wars than, like, all of the movies. Like, where the fuck were these guys, like, in any of the movies? Like, you know, like, obviously,
it's really,
like, the original trilogy is great, but it's just like, you know, I probably would have took, like, a fucking movie with the Bad Batch over, like, any of the new movies. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah. No, it was, like, the characterization and, like, the like, personality they give. Yeah. Like, even, like, the clones who are literally just, like, even, like, in the prequels, they're just kind of like, all right, whatever. Like, what? Like, who cares about these fucking people? Like, they give these clones so much character.
Like, the whole arc with Vibes.
Not even, like,
oh, my God. Like, you know,
yeah.
like,
yep.
yeah, it's crazy. And, like, the Bad Batch are clones, you know, given they're, like.
Yep. But they're all, like, kind of fucked up.
Yeah, but, like, they're funny, but they're cool, but they're still, like, loyal. But you know what I mean? And then at the end with Echo, you know, that whole thing with Echo, like, that was awesome. Like, you know, not spoiling anything. Like, it's just, I don't know. It's if you're a Star Wars fan, it's a must watch.
It also does a lot for this show, and Rebels does a lot for Maul.
Yeah.
Like, if Maul is a character that, like Darth Maul is a character that you like at all regarding Star Wars, you have to watch both of these shows.
Yeah,
I'll
get to that at some point.
They do so much for that fucking character, and, like, Maul was one of my favorite, like, dark side users, like, in, like, almost any, like, Star Wars media, and, like, this show, like, fucking, like, it just nailed it home for me. Like, every time he's on screen, like, wow, I forget what his fucking name is, the voice actor. He was the guy that played the apprentice in Force Unleashed. Sam Witwer. Sam Witwer, like, fucking crushes it as him. Like, it's, like, incredible to me.
Yeah. I was reading up just on, like, what, like, the characters, like, afterwards, and a lot goes into Rebels. I'm like, okay, I guess I gotta watch Rebels. Yeah. It's shorter than Clone Wars, so, you know, I'll get to it at some point. I really don't like, I'll be honest, I really do not like the animation style of Rebels.
The art style is a little weird.
Yeah, so, but yeah, I'm sure I'll get to that at some point. But yeah, so finish that is good. Start Doom Patrol. In episode
hell yeah
5. I mean, it's, you know, I'm liking it. Like, I thought episode 3 was really good, where they, like, go to, like, the Paraguay, like, that whole last end of that episode was fucking sick.
Bizarre.
Yeah, Brendan Fraser's amazing. If Brendan Fraser wasn't in, like, as good as he was, I probably wouldn't like Doom Patrol, to be honest. Like, I think he's really cool.
Once they get Jane, like, in full swing, like, when she, like, really starts, like, bouncing around between personalities and, like, doing all this fucking wild shit, then, like, all right, yeah.
Because, like, that's the thing, is, like, she's such a cool character, but she's still, like, in flux, so she's, like, frustrated. I'm like, do some cool shit, please. And then, like, sometimes she does, but sometimes she doesn't.
Yeah. Well, she never really, like, gets over that. Like, she's still, like, kind of, like, arguing with herself a lot. But, like, there are, like, a lot of scenes where, like, she'll bounce between, like, 4 personalities within, like, 30 seconds. Yeah. And they're, like, arguing with each other. And it's, like, doing, like, wild shit. And I'm like, oh, sure. My God.
Yeah, like in episode, like, 3, when, cool. like, that whole scene with her was awesome. When, like, yep. when, you know, especially, like, her one persona with, like, the words that, like, become blades, like, that's fucking awesome. So, I'm into it. I'm going to continue watching it. And then one other random recommendation. It's a guy I follow on Instagram. He makes, he does, like, animation and backgrounds, and I really enjoy them. I know I've shown you them before, Pat, but his name is Searlight. Searlight. He kind of does, like, nerdy stuff, like Ghibli things and, like, video game and, like, anime. But the backgrounds are awesome. Like, I like them enough that I subscribe to him on Patreon just so I could get exclusive ones he puts out every month.
That's cool.
So, I know you know what I'm talking about, Pat? I've showed you before?
I feel like you've showed them to me. I don't really remember right now, though.
Yeah, like, I know you would, which is why I showed you, because I knew you'd be into them. But yeah, so if, like, that kind of stuff's in your wheelhouse, I would definitely check it out. He has free ones, so it's not like you have to pay. And some of his backgrounds and wallpapers that you use for your phone or your computer are really, really cool. So
word.
But yeah, that's it. You got anything, Brad?
Actually, I don't. I'll recommend an album real quick. It's a band Whitney that I really like. They're, like, alternative indie. They released a cover album called Candid, and it's only 30 minutes, so it's a quick listen. If there's any songs you recognize on it, because, like I said, it is a cover album, so that might be cool to some people. But I listened to that once today. I was pretty into it. So just
cool.
Yeah. So.
All right.
That's it. I think we're good here, right? We're done. We could wrap this one up, fellas.
I think we're good. I think we can fucking just put a little bow tie on this bad boy.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, set him out to deep dark black sea.
God damn it! That is perfect for the closing.
The deep, deep ocean.
Deep ocean.
Okay. So As always, guys, thank you so much for listening. This was another episode of the OK Gamers Podcast. If you want to talk to us more, or the little group of individuals that we have, you could jump in our Discord, okgamers.com. We'll link you to an invite, or you could reach out to any of us at Twitter. I'm at Zinzer Brian. Dan's at DNOwns with 3 Z's. Pat is at PC Mirth. Everybody enjoy the remainder of your lives.
Enjoy the remainder of your lives. I'm sorry.